exclusive, and your fave. We about to make it hot, baby.
Make it hot.
Woo!
Make it hot.
New fave, baby.
We gon' make it hot.
Y'all ready?
We gon' make it
Woo!
Make it hot.
Let's go.
Everybody's looking for their one and only love, and I'd be a fool to settle for someone that isn't good enough. If you're gonna love me right, 'cause I played a fool too many times. If you're gonna love me good, or I'll find another man who will, baby.
'Cause a girl like me is worth it.
Oh,
I'm the best 'cause I deserve it. Just hold me down, and we gotta be perfect.
What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and I'm your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as King Flex, also known as Tariq Nasheed, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm so glad to have everybody tuning into today's show. We're going to chop up some good game as we always do. The phone number is 818-850-5404. We are going to take a lot of calls tonight on today's show. So call in, let me know what's on your mind, let's chop it up, and let's keep it thorough. But what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, and I mean real quick, and we'll be right back right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Yo, check out my man Kevin Gentry and his website, BecomeRichFamousFast.com. Kevin has a one-on-one private school coaching website, and he will teach you everything you need to know about the game. And you can call him directly at 404-207-5640. Call Kevin up and he will teach you everything you need to know about being a true player and having real, real tight game. So check out BecomeRichFamousFast.com. Are you real ashy and you don't know what to do about it? Does your knees and elbows look like you've been blocking bricks from being thrown at you? Well, if so, there's a solution. Check out SheaNaturalSkin.com. Now, this website has all types of shea butter, body scrubs, and bath crystals you need to stay smooth and non-crispy. They have different aromas like jasmine, lavender, carnation, and many, many more. So you need to go get moisturized at SheaNaturalSkin.com. Again, that's SheaNaturalSkin.com. Hey, this is Tariq Nasheed, New York Times bestselling author and producer of the critically acclaimed bestselling documentary series Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. I want you to join me in London on Sunday, March 15th for a live lecture at Friends House in Houston. I'm going to be discussing the international rules of racism, so trust me, you don't want to miss it. Get tickets right now at back2blackempire.com. That's back, the number 2, blackempire.com.
You are now tuning in to the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered!
What's up, family? We're back right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're going to chop up game like we do. And again, the phone number is 818-850-5404. That's for folks who want to call in. Shout out to all my people in the UK. A lot of people are coming to see me in London. That will be next week. I'll be in London doing a lecture March 15th. That's Sunday. So a lot of people are coming. You want to get your tickets now at backtoblackempire.com. I got a lot of press I'm going to be doing there. I will be there, I think, next Wednesday. I will arrive there next Wednesday or next Thursday. So I have a lot of television stuff I'm doing over there. I've already done a lot of press over here for there, and I got a lot more to do. So we're going to take London by storm. We're going to have a great time over there. And shout out to all my UK brothers. Shout out to everybody who has contributed to the Kickstarter for Hidden Colors 4. We're almost at 100K right now. We got like 14 more days to go, but I want everybody, if you're listening right now, go to Kickstarter.com. Go to the Hidden Colors 4 page. Type in Hidden Colors 4 and make your contribution today to get us over that 100K hump for Hidden Colors 4. And I like to thank and show my gratitude to everybody who has contributed so far. Hidden Colors 4 is going to be a doozy. As a matter of fact, we're doing some filming for Hidden Colors 4 this weekend. I'm going out of town. I'm going to Texas this weekend to do some filming for Hidden Colors 4. So I've got a lot of stuff I'm juggling. But again, go to either Kickstarter.com or you can go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to make your contribution to Hidden Colors 4. And you can do that right now, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see who we got on the phone. We got a lot of folks calling up. Speaking of Texas, seems like we got somebody from Texas calling right now. Let's see who we got. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up? It's Jerry.
Hey, who's this?
Jerry, like Tom and Jerry.
What's up, Jerry? How are you? Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Atlanta, Georgia, but I am from Dallas, Texas. Hey.
Yes, what's up? I'll be in Dallas this weekend. So what's on your mind, Jerry?
Oh, I just wanted to say, I just wanted to ask you, recently I was added to this group message from some college associates. And this one girl was very problematic for me. It actually got me thrown out of the group message because she kept confronting me and calling me tacky and arrogant and things of this nature, especially arrogant. So I was just, you know, curious as to how do you feel about people calling you arrogant when you're not being arrogant and you're just speaking the truth. So one situation was a friend of ours asked for advice because he had been tight. And I let the young lady and another young lady respond to him before I said something because I'm a third-year medical student. And I knew the answer. You know, I knew what was going on with him right away. But, of course, I gave other people a chance to speak. And then I addressed him directly and said, you know, what I thought the problem was. And they were writing paragraph after paragraph, giving him advice after advice. And, you know, I just came in with, like, two sentences. And she basically said that I was disrespecting her and disrespecting the other girl who's also into mental health, which it had nothing to do with mental health. And I was like, I'm not disrespecting anyone. I'm a third-year medical student. I think that's relevant, even though it has nothing to do with me actually knowing what was going on with him. And she tried to throw up her degree, like, well, I have the highest degree in this group, et cetera, and went through her whole resume. I'm like, well, it's not about that.
Okay,
address people who are calling you arrogant?
Okay. So that situation, let me tell you what it is, because, and this was another African-American sister, right?
Yes, and she's biracial. Yes, African-American.
You know, with us, with unfortunately, we carry a lot of stuff over from slavery. We still have it. We still have a lot of slave baggage and refuse that we carry with us. And one thing that we carry is this one-upman thing, this rugged individualism that we have to have with each other, where we have to one-up each other. We have to big up or be one better than the next black person. It's this very competitive thing because there's such a scarcity of resources, and we have this poverty mentality where resources are so scarce, we got to do whatever we need to do in order to keep shine for us so that we can get what little resources are available. So what I'm making it more complicated, but what it is, but basically it's this one woman don't want to see another woman shine. It's just that simple. It's just when you're shining and you saying the right things and now you're getting attention, the minute that happens and you're on an equal standing with somebody, you look like them, you are in the same field as them, all of a sudden that cutthroat, I gotta down them mentality pops up. So now they got to talk about you're arrogant because now they can't say that you're incompetent. So they can't say that because if you were incompetent in any way, they would have brought that out.
She's like, what test have you passed? You're not a doctor. I'm a third year medical student. So why would you even fix your mouth to disrespect me in that way? You know?
Anything to kind of bring you down a peg. So since they can't bring you down based on your academic skills, they just say, okay, you got the skills, but you're just arrogant. People do that to me all the time because they can't say that I'm a dumb dude or I'm not on top of my game or I'm not about no business. They can't say that. So they say, oh, that Tariq, oh, that nigga's arrogant. He's egotistical. So I get that all the time. And that's just another form of motherfuckers hating because you're shining and they just want to bring you down a peg instead of learning the game and trying to get on your level so that they can be thorough. We get this attention thing. We're so attention deprived. So you're already winning. So when somebody's calling you arrogant, understand that you're winning. So you don't have to do anything. That means you're winning. Understand this. People hate up. They don't hate down. They don't hate on people who are doing worse than them. You always hate on people who are doing better. They hate up. So if somebody's hating on you...
You better explain that, man.
Exactly. So don't even trip on that. You already winning. So that woman is not a threat to you. Now, she's threatened by you. You understand? And I say keep on being a threat and you keep on being thorough. Because when you're thorough... People are going to look at her and watch her hating, and she's going to just fall off in the eyes of her peers. So you ain't got nothing to worry about.
Oh, man, I sure do appreciate that, because yes. That was just bothering me. Like, why would you say that? Even after she gave me her resume, I was like, you know what? I salute you. You're definitely someone that I admire. I'm not taking anything away from you. So what is it that you want me to say or to do?
Yeah, just keep doing you, because you already went in, and the more she keeps hating... The peers are going to look at her and be like, okay, you on something else and we ain't messing with you. But they're going to still rock with you. But thank you for the call, dear. All right. Let's see who else we got on the phone. But like I said, people hate up. They don't hate down. What's going on? Who's calling?
What's going on, family? It's AJ from Florida.
AJ from Florida. How you doing, AJ? What's on your mind?
I just wanted to ask you a quick question real quick.
Go ahead, fam.
I wanted to know... what do you think we should be doing as far as, like, when the police are shooting brothers and we seeing these videos posted up and these world star hip-hop videos? I get real upset about that. Is that something that I should ignore and just focus on, like, bettering myself? Or what do you think?
Well, we shouldn't ignore it. We shouldn't ignore us getting killed like this because, man, let me tell you something. Every black person, people can try to coon their way around this and say, okay, well, them niggas just should have been doing something better. They should not have been out there at night. You know, a lot of black folks come up with coping mechanisms. But we have to understand, as black people, in the environment we're in now, we're one police stop away from being a hashtag on Twitter. You understand? Your name can be a hashtag on Twitter tomorrow if the wrong white supremacist cop pull you over. You understand? So we're all in danger. So this is why we should be working day and night figuring out ways to protect ourselves and counter systematic white supremacy. And you counter that through melanoid empowerment. So we should be talking about... Yeah, we should be talking about economics all the time.
Ways to, like, better myself. It's just, I've seen that video with the homeless guy in L.A., and it just made me real upset. I'm just tired of seeing my people get killed.
Yeah, me too. And that's why we should be empowering ourselves economically. We should be on top of our economic game. Unfortunately, when it comes to talking economics, you got black folks out here trying to hate on people talking on economics. Oh, man, you just hustling the black community. Bullshit like that is going to get us killed continuously. We need to be circulating money in the black community so that we can get politicians in place, so that we can create our own law, so that we can protect our communities, because we're being targeted because we're economically weak. And that makes us politically weak. That makes us academically weak. That makes us weak in every form of people activity. That makes us weak militarily. We got to get our money game together. There's no way around that. You feel me?
Yeah, I'll tell you one quick question real quick, Trick. I just want to say thank you for everything that you're doing. And I used to be a fan of Griff until he came at you the wrong way. So everybody I know, we riding with you. Thanks, family.
No doubt, man. Much respect, fam. Yes, indeed. And as far as that whole Griff thing with Griff and me and Zaza Ali and all that old shit, for those who don't know, I'm not going to even get into it, but it's squashed on my end. Everything is squashed. And you know, there have been responses on their part. You know, there was a little back and forth. I said my piece on Ustream this Sunday, and I'm not touching on it no more. For now, I'm not going to touch on it no more. And I was thinking about responding to something, but I'm not. Brother Phil Valentine, the great Brother Phil Valentine, gave me a buzz. And we had a real heart-to-heart, man-to-man talk. And I love that brother and have so much respect for Brother Phil Valentine. I mean, he's going to be in Hidden Colors 4, by the way, dropping some real heat. And, you know, he kind of wanted me to pump the brakes on everything for the sake of the brothers and sisters out here who are trying to be enlightened, and it makes a lot of sense. I'm not, again, even when this whole ordeal started, which was not my fault, by the way, my thing, I didn't want to embarrass folks, but I had to defend myself, and that's what it is. I said what I had to say, so I'm squashed with it, and everybody, all my people, we're going to fall back and just chill. That's what I'm saying to all my folks. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. But my man made a very good point earlier who just called about black people getting killed and attacked out here. There was a brother, a homeless brother out here. His street name was Africa. And the brother had, he was a mentally ill brother. The brother had mental problems. And he was down there downtown on Skid Row. For those who don't know, Skid Row is an area in downtown LA there where there are a lot of homeless people, people with mental illnesses. They have a lot of missions down there where homeless people stay. A lot of ex-drug users down there. So it's a pretty bad situation in that part of town. And this brother got into an altercation with the police. He was unarmed. And, you know, they did what they do to unarmed black people. They killed the brother. And let me tell y'all something, man. Shit is kind of getting real out here. People ain't taking that shit lightly out here, man. People out here are not taking that lightly. There were some cops that were shot at, I think, yesterday or the day before yesterday. I think it may have been in retaliation to that brother getting shot. But cats out here are not taking that shit lightly. A couple of cops were targeted. So something's going to have to be done about that shit. It's going to get really real. But again, that goes back to us having our economic game in order. We got to have our economic game in order. And one thing I didn't like with this brother, the homeless gentleman, he was killed. He was unarmed. And on the news the next day, they were going on about his jail record. And this is a real slick move that the media makes because the media is in cahoots with law enforcement and the politicians. They were talking about how he was a convicted bank robber. Now, this guy robbed a bank like in 2000, like 15 years ago. But they kept bringing that up as if that has something to do with him getting killed on the streets while he was unarmed. They kept using convicted bank robber, such and such, convicted bank robber. They kept using that term to criminalize the man to justify him getting killed. Same thing they did with Mike Brown. They kept showing that video of him getting into the altercation at the convenience store. They always do that with us. This is why it's important to have our finances together so that we can have our own media. But the shit is getting real out here. And them demonizing that brother, that's just not a good look. Let me see who's on the phone. We got a lot of folks calling. Let me see who else is on the phone. I'm going to touch more on that in a minute. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, what's going on, Tyreek, man? This is CeeLo's man calling from Georgia.
Hey, man, what's on your mind?
I'm just chilling, man. I'm just, I saw your pic that you had posted on IG, man, and it said your girl can't open a soda, but had superhuman strength to break her own phone when she was taken.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's true right there. One time, man, I got caught, and I tried to break my phone myself, and the phone just bounced off the floor and didn't break at all, man. But no, it ain't worth it, homie.
There you go. That's all. What's up? What else is on your mind, man?
Oh, I'm just chilling, man. Like, right now, I'm at work. I work at a radio station. I'm live on the air with you, homie.
What radio station you work at?
I work at WHGH 840 in Thomasville, Georgia.
There you go, man. Shout out to everybody in Thomasville, Georgia. I hope y'all got Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get that now.
That's bad. That's a bet, man. You know, I got all your stuff, man. Want to give you a shout out, man. Congratulations on your newborn and you and TJ, homie.
Thank you very much, man. Thanks for the call, fam. Yes, indeed. Let's see who else we got. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, what up, Tariq, man? This Pimpin', man.
What's up, Pimpin'? How you doing, fam?
Oh, man, I'm chilling on it, man.
Where you calling from?
Little Rock, Arkansas.
Out there in Little Rock. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, man, I just wanted to know, man, am I wrong for just trying to charge this chick to the game, man? She usually have chicks kind of compensate, man, for me just kicking it with him, man. I don't just like kicking it with a chick for GP, man. Like, I make this chick pretty much, she either gonna shit or get off the pot, man, fucking with me, man. And I'm pretty much giving her a 2-week stretch, man. And I'm trying to see, am I going the right way, man? My homeboy said I should give her a little bit more time.
Well, how's she been acting so far?
I mean, she's been cooperating so far, but it just seems like on the cash end of the game, you know, she's being a little petty, I feel like.
Oh, okay. Well, the thing is, man, when you deal with anybody, you know, they know what they're doing. They know what they're not doing. And sometimes when you give them an ultimatum, and you got to fall through 100% with the ultimatum. That's with anything you do. So
yes,
you
indeed.
Say, I'm giving you a couple of weeks time to do this or that, just like with any employee or anything. Sometimes people are going to test and see how thorough you're going to be. And they can kind of feel whether you're bluffing or not, because you got to have a look in your eye like you dead serious that you're going to charge this situation to the game if somebody's not coming correct. So sometimes people might play dumb and just kind of wait you out just to see how thorough you are. So you got to have in your heart of heart the ability to really charge this person to the game. You feel me?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. Because what happens is sometimes you deal with a situation, you got a lady that you're in a relationship with, and she's doing something slick or foul, or she's being disrespectful, and you say, if they do it again, I'm going to charge you. And then they do it again, but what they do, they start buddying up to you. They go down on you real good, or they do something that will keep you there. They cook you a good meal or something, so they find your weak spot and cater to your weak spot. So that's a little game that they play.
I don't really know, not to cut you off, but I don't really fall for the sucker shit like that, don't you?
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. But a lot of dudes do, and even dudes in the game, they fall for that sucker shit too. Because sometimes, right when a chick is about to get charged or whatever, she magically pop up with a whole gang of money. You understand? Trying to keep her position. So, you know, just watch the little games people play, because it's all a psychological power play within all relationships. You feel me?
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is, Tariq, just go ahead and stick to my guns, give it a 2-week limit, and that's it. Because one of my partners, he's saying that I'm being too harsh and I'm being too gorilla on the bitch. I should give her a little bit more time.
No, man, you got to, whatever you say, you got to stand on it, everything you do. If you say you're going to do something, you stand on that. Anything you do, you got to stand on it, or people are going to test you and they're going to look at you sideways if you don't stand on it. You feel me?
I want you, Tariq. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for the call, man. Yes, indeed. Let me see who else we got. We got somebody else in Georgia calling. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, Turk? This is Chris from Atlanta. I called you a couple weeks ago about that girl situation, but I got another question for you. I'm a college student down here in Atlanta, and I go to a predominantly white school.
Okay.
And I had a situation happen to me yesterday. I'm in class, minding my business, just paying attention to class, and there's two white kids, this white dude and this white girl, come sit behind me. And then just start saying, nigga this, nigga that, nigga this, nigga that. And, you know, it initially just got me angry, and I was really just wondering how you think I should deal with situations like that in school.
Okay. I'm going to tell you like Neely Fuller said, and I'm a big fan of Neely Fuller. Neely Fuller said, when you're at work or at school and there are white people around you talking kind of slick, and, you know, using the N-word. And sometimes, I'm assuming the students, those white students, are doing it as trying to sound hip. They're not saying it racially. They're trying to make it seem like they're just saying it casually and hip, like in a hip-hop way, right?
But this is what they were doing. They were antagonizing me. They were saying, like, oh, don't do that. That might be dangerous. You never know what he might do to you. And trying, you know what I'm saying, trying to be funny and mess with me a little bit.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you exactly what to do. When that happens, you keep doing your work. You just kind of laugh them off. You do not get angry at all, because that's exactly what they want. The white supremacists, they will antagonize black people. The minute you make a move, I mean, in a split second, they go into victim mode. I mean, immediately. Okay. They were going to victim mode, like, oh God, the big black guy he's attacking us. We're just using words. Why are you going to attack me because of words? They'll play that role. So what you do, you keep it real cool and you don't get offended at all. And when you don't get offended, that's going to make them nervous, because now they put themselves out there and they look like the assholes. And if they keep on doing it, other white people at that school and at the job or whatever, they're going to check them. You understand?
Okay.
So just let them hang themselves. When you already got them, when you're at a job or a school and there's a white person talking some racial shit, you already got them. You just kind of sit back and let them fall off. See, what we want to do, because we hear somebody say something racial and slick, we want swift justice. We want to get in their ass right then and there. Then we end up getting fired or expelled or whatever. I learned that as a kid. When I was in school, when I was in the second grade, there was a kid named Lee who used to say all types of little crazy racial shit to me. A little blonde-haired white kid would say, niggers aren't from Jupiter, that's why they're stupider. He would say all types of little shit. So I'm like, man, I'm gonna knock the shit out of you at lunch. So I would kind of get up on this dude, and he would go tell on me that I'd get suspended. I said, oh, and he's sitting there grinning and snickering. I said, oh, okay, I got it. Okay, so I'm going to change. At that point, in the second grade, I understood the game from that point. I said, okay, I'm about to learn the ins and outs of how racism works. I learned this in the second fucking grade. That's why I'm thorough about it now, and that's why I'm still on that, because I had to learn how to maneuver past that and not get caught up in a trap. I got trapped, and we still get caught up in these type of traps to this day. Don't you get caught up in that trap. Let them keep talking that bullshit so they can end up getting fucked up in the game. You feel me?
No, I got you. It's hard, but I got you. I feel you,
but keep it thorough. Thanks for the call. Yeah, when somebody's doing all that nigga talk or whatever, even if they just keep on doing it, whatever you do, don't get mad. Don't get mad. Especially when somebody's using nigga, somebody white and they're using nigga. Just ask them, what do you mean by that? When you say nigger, what do you mean exactly? What are you saying? And if they try to play the, well, black people say it, so how come we can't say it? You know my answer. I tell them. When I say niggas, I'm saying a different word. I'm saying N-E-G-U-S, niggas. Now that word, when you spell it that way, that's an ancient African word, particularly used in ancient Ethiopia. That word means king. So, to the white supremacists, are you calling me a king when you use the word niggas? If not, what exactly are you calling me? You got to know how to handle these white supremacists with words. Because they use these little words and these little codes, and that's how they get you. You got to know how to fight back with that. Your word game has to be on point, just like with the gentleman who called early, and that's the theme for today's show, as you see, how to handle situation with words. And follow through with your words. When you say something verbally, you have to follow through with it. My man called earlier and said, hey, man, I gave a girl an ultimatum. Now, the fact that you have to give out an ultimatum in a relationship, that's already somewhat of a problem there. Because now that means that they're doing something that they're not supposed to be doing. And you verbally let them know that you're not comfortable with them doing what they're doing. So now that you have to give an ultimatum, now you're going to have to stick by your words. And after a while, you're going to have to act on your words. And if you say you're going to do something, you're going to have to do it. And also, when people use words against you to try to draw you into action, you have to not fall into that trap. And that's what a lot of the white supremacists will do. They will say little slick stuff to draw you in. That's why the white supremacists, they love getting online and making up all of these fake screen names so they can use a lot of words to get black people riled up. That's a pastime with the white supremacists, getting black people riled up on the internet by saying little derogatory things and making little white supremacist statements. So we got to stop falling for those traps and have your word game in order. Your words are very, very important. And when you use words, you got to know how to use your words as weapons to a certain degree. Because when you know how to shut people down verbally, that's a threat. They look at you as a threat. When you're able to shut somebody down, and I just did an interview with the Epoch Times newspaper. Shout out to the Epoch Times. Now, the Epoch Times, that's a big international newspaper. They're in like 35 countries. And they were asking me questions about racism. And you guys can check it out at epochtimes.com. And also, you can go to my Facebook page and see this article. Very good, in-depth article. The reporter was a white guy, real cool, from the UK. And we had a very in-depth conversation about race and white supremacy and how people understand it and how people don't understand it. We had a very deep conversation. And we were talking about the code words that are used by the white supremacists and how words and certain things are used to draw people into action. And see, we fall for traps, just like my man was about to fall into a trap at his school with these people saying this little slick stuff to him verbally. He was about to fall into that trap. Because like I said, the minute that man acted on anything they said, they had him. And And sometimes, just like the case with this man who got killed out here in Los Angeles, Brother Africa, the homeless brother who was shot, the cops will do something real slick. They will use words and say certain things to justify their own actions. For example, when this brother was shot, the homeless brother, the cop kept yelling, "Get your hand off my gun! Get your hand off my gun!" The cop was saying that, making sure that that was heard, which, from what you see on the tape, it doesn't look like the homeless brother was trying to reach for the cop's gun. Doesn't look like he was doing that, but that's a tactic of the police. They'll yell out something to justify their actions. And this happened in another case. It was a case where a brother got beat up and shot. I don't know if he got shot, but I know he got beat up and arrested back east, and he won a lawsuit. They didn't kill the brother, and he actually won a lawsuit. And that's why the cops like to shoot to kill, because they don't want to beat somebody up and it's on tape and then you get sued. See, a dead man can't sue the police. That's why they have these shoot to kill orders. But the same thing happened back east, where the cops was beating up this brother and the cops were yelling out, "Get your hand off my gun! Get your hand off my gun!" while they were beating him. And the guy wasn't grabbing the gun at all. And they're real big on doing that out here in LA. I got pulled over a few years ago, and one of the cops had, they were just stopping random people on Sunset Boulevard. I was driving home and they were stopping random people and they pulled me over. Well, I don't know what reason they did. But I got out the car. They wanted to check the car. I'm like, I don't consent to searches at all. And they just kept asking me a bunch of questions. And I was like, "Okay, officer, what is this about? You're being hostile." They just started yelling. "Why are you being hostile? You're being hostile and aggressive. You're being hostile and aggressive." They started yelling. Then they put me in the cop car. I'm like, okay, these motherfuckers are real slick. That's why we got to have our cameras on them at all times. Because they will try to verbally assault you to draw you in. If they start yelling at you, they know that naturally people tense up and physically kind of get startled if you're being yelled at. So they count on you to get startled and have some type of reaction naturally to them yelling at you, so that will justify them harming you. The white supremacists are very good at that. So my point is, we should understand how people use words and how they verbalize themselves against us, and how we have to not fall for those traps. So when I got pulled over by that cop, I remained cool because I knew what he was trying to do. And living in a system of white supremacy, we have to understand the game and get a code of conduct and a code of words, and understand a code of how to act to empower ourselves and also protect ourselves from these crazy ass white supremacists out here. But anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here. That's been today's show. Don't forget to go to backtoblackempire.com to get tickets to join me live in London next week. Don't forget to go to the Kickstarter page. That's at kickstarter.com, and type in Hidden Colors 4 to contribute to the making of Hidden Colors 4. And I will holler at you guys on Ustream this Sunday. Peace.